we will be talking.
Who is this, Kathleen talking?
Oh, Kathleen, hi. We're starting now.
Is this Kathleen?
No.
She will probably mute everybody first.
Okay, this is Barbara. We're going to begin now. I'm going to mute everyone. And when it's time to speak, everyone, each individual person can hit star 6 to speak and then star 6 again to mute yourself when you're done speaking. So I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone now. Well, welcome to our HeartShare program tonight. We have a special class tonight with Lady Master Magda, who is the consort of Beloved Jesus, as she overshines David Christopher Lewis on the feminine aspect of Christ consciousness. At the end, in about 50 minutes, you are invited to stay with us for a time of learning more about the Heart Center opportunities in which you are invited to join us, and ways to grow spiritually with us in the Heart Center community. And then we will also have prayer requests and prayer time, plus any questions you have about the Heart Center. Our mission and vision. Our mission, within our Heart Center community, we realize personal enlightenment through our higher self and share the Ascended Master's teachings and our love wisdom throughout the earth. Our vision, we live in sustainable golden crystal age communities in joy and in harmony with Mother Nature, using solar sciences of the spirit. We radiate light and we live and love as one. And now we're going to have our opening prayer. I'm going to read the prayer from the back of your letter she got in the mail. Or the stock on your Okay, now I will continue with the prayer. Jesus' Great Commandment Prayer. I am loving the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, and with all my strength, and I am loving my neighbor as myself. Thank you, Father, Mother, God, for the great example of love you are to us that overflows and emanates out to the whole world as we send it forth in great victory to our brothers and sisters who are thirsty for more of you. And thank you, Archangel Michael, for the protection of our HeartShare teleclass tonight. Come, O Grail, O Holy Grail, now radiate your light, a talisman of sacred fire within my aura bright. The blood of Christ as golden fire rejuvenates my soul. Your body, sacred essence of the Buddha, keep me whole. Thank you, beloved masters and Archangel Michael, for blessing and protecting our class tonight with Magda and David Christopher Lewis. May every heart in attendance be blessed. Now we're going to have our song. The song is on page 56 in the Heart Center songbook for those of you with songbooks. And it's also on emails or snail mails that were sent to you about the class. It is called One All One. This song honors the relationship of Jesus and Magda and also our relationship with our solar presence, our Father, Mother, God. Please meditate on these relationships during the music. I don't hear it on the phone, but then I've got everybody muted. I hear it on the computer.
We're not able to hear it.
They're not hearing the song on the phone.
I'm working on it.
Philip is working on correcting that.
We hear it very, very lightly. Very, very low.
Very,
very low.
Okay. Is there any way you can turn that up at your desk, Phil?
I'm trying.
Okay. He's working on adjusting the volume there. Yeah, you can hear it fine over the computer, but not so well over the phone, unfortunately. Thank you. Tonight, Lady Master Magda leads us into a new level of divine love via teachings on the feminine aspect of Christ consciousness. You are invited to stay at the end of this class to learn more about the Heart Center community, ways to grow spiritually with us, and to share prayer requests and pray with us for another 20 to 30 minutes. David Christopher Lewis was called upon by God through the Ascended Masters to begin the Heart Center community in 2004. He is an author, musician, recent talk show host, conference speaker, husband, and father. He has the gift and responsibility of being an amanuensis for the Masters of the Universal Great White Brotherhood, which I will let him explain. Recent books David has completed are Saint Germain on Advanced Alchemy and Living a Soulful Life. These two books are essential for anyone who wants to grow spiritually. We have ongoing book studies to which you are invited with opportunities to awaken your soul and apply all that your soul requires. So take it away, David.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Philip. And all those online now. Thank you.
Is that better?
We can't hear it on the telephone.
They can't hear it on the telephone at all. Philip, they can't hear it on the telephone at all. Okay. We're working on it.
I'm working on it, David. Can you hear me?
Can hear me on the phone up here. Maybe if I turn up the volume on my computer, would that be helpful? Want me to do that? Okay.
The adjourning students to master their thought and feeling work.
Now we can hear.
You observe your thoughts and feelings, and you witness how you react to things, and then when you gain the mastery of the Christ consciousness over thoughts and feelings, you are not in a reactive state. You mindfully respond to everything that transpires in your world. You have the balance of heart and mind, this heart-mind connection, the pink and the yellow, as we say in the heart center. So, to gain greater balance and equanimity within our souls, we too can develop or allow this Christ consciousness and the energies of that spiritual fire to be born within us anew, to be present and center in our lives, so that all of our words, our actions, our thoughts and feelings are harmonious, peaceful, and representative of our own characteristic patterns of who we are as sons and daughters of God. Now, both heart-centeredness and mindfulness bring us to the fount of our Christ consciousness. And for those who study the cosmic clock, you know that the Christ consciousness is on the 3 o'clock line of the cosmic clock. This is where the Son of God is, both S-O-N and S-U-N, although Son, S-O-N, can be in this aspect, both male and female. It's not limited to men or to the male. Now, knowing the cosmic clock, you know that the Father is at the 12 o'clock, the Mother at the 6, the Christ consciousness is the Son, S-U-N awareness is at the 3, and the Holy Spirit is at the 9. Energetically, you could say that the Father is plus, the Son or the Christ on the 3 o'clock line is plus, minus, the 6 o'clock line is minus, minus, and the Holy Spirit on the 9 is minus, plus. And so you see that both the Christ consciousness and the Holy Spirit awareness have the balance of plus and minus, alpha and omega, father and mother, masculine and feminine, positive and negative. So obviously it's true that the Christ consciousness is the perfect balance of alpha and omega, father and mother. And yet we don't really hear too much about the feminine aspect of the Christ, and that's why this teaching is coming to us tonight. In our culture today, it's fairly typical for women to be the ones to prepare and serve him. I know it's true in my relationship. While Jesus served me, we have the Last Supper. We have the time when he, after his resurrection, asked the disciples if they had any fish, and they didn't, and so he go out again, and they got the fish, and then they ate fish and bread together. And this is in John, Luke 24. So, feeding others as an aspect of the feminine nature of God, breastfeeding, preparing meals, feeding children, is something that Jesus did as a feminine aspect of the Christ consciousness. Comforting people is typically considered done by women with great loving kindness. This comfort as a feminine activity allows one to give relief, encouragement, a soothing talk, a hug, extending empathy. And we typically think of women as ones who are more empathic because they are very sensitive. They experience life generally more through their feeling bodies and their emotions than just through their mind or through their thoughts, intellect. They rely more on intuition. And so this as an aspect of Christ consciousness is very important for all of us to consider and develop the intuition of the mother, because when we have connection with our source, oneness with our presence, a clear straight line to the divine one, we have the ability to know instantaneously what is acting in our world and the world of others. We, through this intuition, can surmise things instantaneously without going through all kinds of mental gesticulations and the equations that are kind of energetically going on in people's brains and minds as they cognize things. There's a direct stream of awareness to the infinite through intuition that allows for a higher mindfulness, a more bright and brilliant divine intellect to take hold of us, to work through us, so that we can know, we can have wisdom, we can get to the crux of the matter and find the truth in any situation. Often it is our first impulse that gives us that direction and provides the key for us to have this inner sense of what is real, what is true, and what also lies below the surface that people don't always say or represent because we're not always honest. Now, as I was preparing for this class tonight, Mary Magdalene, or Magda, as we call her as an Ascended Lady Master, shared with me that Jesus and she would often work as a team. Magda was just as intuitive, sensitive, and empathic as Jesus, and because they were twin flames and had a collective mission and an equal amount of attainment, they often had the experience that many couples do who are very close of seeing and witnessing the same thing at the same time in a higher dimension, visually, feeling the same thing of the spiritual life and world energetically at the same time, tuning in and knowing things almost at the same instant through the dynamics of their developed higher faculties of this Christ consciousness, this Christ mind.
We hear an echo.
Your higher mind, you too can have this inner knowing, this gnosis, this higher faculty of the graces and gifts of the Holy Spirit moving through your world, perfuming your life so that there is this comfort of inner knowing. And you don't have to strain to find the answers to life. The dilemma, you magically, mystically, miraculously, and very beautifully know by this higher intuition, this EFP, extrasensory perception, of your Christ consciousness. The more you develop this awareness through fasting, prayer, meditation, being in nature, being observant, being more universal in your approach to everything, being objective when listening and deeply listening to others and to your own inner voice, the more you are able to come to that place, that sacred place of beingness where the truth naturally is presented to you in moments of this sacred connectedness with your presence, with God. There is that inner knowing of exactly what must be done at the right time, in the right place, with the right people, with the right resources. So you don't have to struggle and strain in life. The Christ consciousness provides a vehicle and a means of you expressing exactly who you are in your natural state of being with the optimal resources available to you through who you are, through the development of your mind, your heart, your intuitive faculties of the Holy Spirit. And then life becomes joyous, happy. You feel the sense of freedom, renewal, resurrection. Light is present in everything that you do around you, within your home, within your world, within the space of where you are employed or what you do with others. So the Christ is the light of the world. Remember, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He could state and aver that because that light was there present, billowing forth from his presence, through his awareness. People could see it. They could see the majesty of his being. Many people who were clairvoyant at the time could see this radiant field of light, of great, great light around him. And, of course, artists have shown this and depictions of a halo or aura of the light around him, both as the Son of God and also because, as we understand it, he developed all of these faculties through many, many years of inner work on himself, one with God. Now, the same things that Jesus was going through and experiencing in his youth before his outer mission, Mary Magdalene was experiencing through the ancient mystery school traditions that she was a part of. She was an initiate. She was not a prostitute. She was not one who, unfortunately, the Catholics have put her down. She and stated that she, you know, was this one from whom Jesus had to expel seven demons. But, well, obviously, the symbology of the seven is important for us to understand. And yet, for the mystic, the initiate, we know that the feminine aspect of God and of the Christ consciousness is just as important as the masculine, and that many of the inner mysteries and teachings have been taken away from us purposefully to hide the truth of Jesus' relationship with beloved Magda, his marriage to her at Cana, and of the mystical traditions of their union, bringing forth children and bringing forth the bloodline of the Christ that has been carried down through even unto our time in the present moment. Jesus would speak words, and Magda would take notes of the spiritual beings that were often above or vibrating within Jesus' aura, who were sometimes inspiring these words. Certain angels, Buddha, such as Lord Maitreya, Melchizedek himself, who, because we know that Jesus was of the priesthood of Melchizedek, Melchizedek communed directly with him and talked through his inner voice. Moses, as Lord Ling, would commune with Jesus. And we have the example of the Transfiguration on the Mount. And who came there? Moses. As well as, I believe, John the Baptist. And even after John the Baptist's beheading, at the behest of Herod, he would commune with Jesus because in a past life they were guru and disciple, Elijah and Elisha. And so this connection was very strong between them. They were cousins. They were of the same bloodline, in effect, through their connection with each other, both physically and spiritually. And John the Baptist, as an ascended, as a reascended being, because he ascended as Elijah, came back to help in Jerusalem. As he reascended to heaven, he worked with Jesus on the earth to actually help in his ministry in many, many very powerful ways. In fact, Jesus would often call upon John the Baptist energetically to help him with some of the more difficult situations that came up. And Mary Magdalene was aware of this, too. And she called upon the Lord through the mystical traditions of the Essenes, which they were both aware of, and the angelic hierarchy, to invoke that light, to invoke the majesty and the presence of these great beings of light to assist them in their mission, just as we do today. And we now are of the same lineage of the Essenes in our community worldwide. Your diet with solar gazing, getting into permaculture and the growing of organic, natural, wholesome food, which we like to eat and take in as a part of what we do spiritually. Now, Mary Magdalene, through the feminine aspect that she pictured in her life as a Christed mother and mother being, was also very close to Mother Mary. We don't hear much about this in the Gospels, and yet they both held the feminine aspect of God within their temples of life for that Piscean dispensation. Obviously, Mary, as the mother of Jesus, was invested in all the work of her son and her other children as well, and she knew intimately Mary Magdalene, and she sanctioned the wedding because by the time they were married, Joseph had already passed on and was ascended. Ascended in consciousness. He wasn't at that point an ascended master. He was Saint Joseph, but he could have actually, as I understand it, accepted his ascension, although he knew that he had to return and fulfill certain mission in various incarnations. Yet, what, and this is the first time I've actually heard this teaching from Bhagavad Gita, is that Saint Joseph, the mother, the father of Jesus, could have actually ascended at that point, had he chosen that. He could qualify to work. He had balanced all his problems. He fulfilled his mission in that lifetime, yet he had much more to fulfill. So one other interesting thing is that I asked beloved Magda, what's her astrological sign like? And instantly I got the answer that she was an Aquarius. And this symbology of her being the water bearer is very important because during that Piscean dispensation, remember in the precession of the equinoxes, we go backwards in the cosmic clock from the way that we're used to having it. We go from Aries to Pisces to Aquarius. So we finish the age of Pisces, or we're wrapping up the cycle of Pisces to go into Aquarius. So you can intuit through the fact that Jesus was actually born at the cusp of Aries and Pisces as the spring equinox. Mary Magdalene was born during the cycle of Aquarius, and this was a very important symbol of permission, both in the Piscean dispensation carrying forward into the age of Aquarius, when the Divine Mother, the feminine aspect of God, and now the feminine aspect of Christ, will be brought to the fore. There's so much out there on the internet now of mystics and those who commune with Mary Magdalene of what they are discovering through their own communion with her heart. And just as we had in the scripture, it was saying that during this end time, your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions, I believe. Correct me on that. Which one's the young men and the old men? Your young men shall the old men shall dream dreams, the young men shall see visions, or the opposite. So someone can correct me and see which one it is. So Mary Magdalene, holding this beautiful focus of light, of being the water bearer, which is here for us even today, as we transition from the age of Pisces to Aquarius, and the water sign of Pisces merges into the sign of Aquarius, which is, as we know, an air sign, I believe, the fire sign, 1, 5, 9. Those are air signs. So it's an air sign, however, you have the symbology of the water being poured into the urn or into the alabaster jar. So this is an important symbol. As in addition to being a water bearer, she obviously is an oil bearer, and the oil is what she uses to anoint both the feet of Jesus for his understanding, his feet representing understanding, and his whole being, his whole body, as his mate and as his beloved. And this anointing was performed by her as an initiate. So was Jesus ever officially anointed after baptism by John the Baptist? Well, Mary Magdalene, as an initiate, did this anointing. And some teachings, this also was a symbol of their marriage and the sanctification of their marriage. And some say that at that point she was pregnant already, and this was a ritual that occurred during a certain time of pregnancy, I believe the third month of pregnancy, of this actual ritual of the anointing with oil. And so there's an artist who lives here in Montana part of the time named Marius Michael George, who's done a fantastic image of Mary Magdalene as Magda, as the ascended being. And she has her arms raised, holding a chalice of fire within a sacred geometric image. And I secured permission to put this image on my CD called Journey of Love. And I just love this image. So there you see Mary Magdalene, or Magda, with the flaming chalice and then the wonderful image. And she has that could be considered to be the tree of life. Maybe the Merkaba, that I think it's more of a tree of life, which is a geometric form. We know that the grail itself is a symbol of the feminine aspect of God,
yes.
The cup into which the wine or grapes is poured symbolizes the feminine, and of course the spirit goes from spirit into matter transported into the cup. So there's much more that I could share about the feminine aspect of the Christ consciousness if we were to really look at all the scriptures and see the things that Jesus did that really represented the feminine aspect of God, and that understanding of who Mazda is as an initiate, as a twin flame, as someone who was not a harlot or a prostitute, someone who had equal attainment as Jesus, who had a great heart in his mission, and who was instrumental in carrying forth his message into France and elsewhere. And the children, the lineage that Jesus and she sired, and has come down to the present day, all of this is very important. And we have a wonderful Mary University class that Steve Miller, our current Arts Center president, facilitated. And this was a few years back, and it was wonderful. And we tried to cram a lot into, I believe, two sessions, and we probably didn't get it quick. So there's so much information. We'll have to have another class at some point in the future to expand on what she shared at that time, because this is a vast subject. So I would like to open this up now for questions for beloved Magda on this subject. Anything that you would like to ask, and I will have to rely on Philip to maybe either ask the question on your behalf, because I don't believe I'm tied directly to the phone line on my Skype. So Philip, would you like to see if anyone has a question to ask?
Anyone have a question to ask?
I have one question. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I would like to know about Mary Magdalene's name as Amy. She was had a life as a pastor in, I was in Los Angeles. She was an evangelist, Amy Semple Pearson, and she got kind of a bad rap at time. She's having affairs with other people, and I just would like to see that cleared up.
And Amy,
did you hear that, David?
Had a life as a pastor in, was in Los Angeles. She was an evangelist, Amy Skepperson, and she got kind of a bad rap at times. She was having affairs with other people, and I just would like to see that cleared up.
Did you hear that, David?
No, I didn't hear it. Can you ask the question? I cannot hear what other people are saying. For only you.
Donna was asking about Amy out in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think I went on the broadcast and heard what she was saying. She said that Amy Simple McPherson was supposedly an embodiment of Magda, and she got kind of a bad rap, she got an affair, etc. Whenever anyone steps forward to do spiritual work, especially a woman, in the mid-20th century or early 20th century, there will be opposition because we've been living in a male-dominated society for quite some time, and people are jealous, and not everyone agrees that women should be at the altar or at the pulpit or doing work. So the Dark Force has had it out for her, and even though she may not have been humanly perfect, her spirit, her heart, her willingness to do the work of God in that ministry was perfect in the eyes of Jesus, in the eyes of God. So we can realize that humanly, none of us is living the ideal life of complete saintliness. And it doesn't really matter if she had affairs or whatever. You look at the mission, you look at the lives converted, you look at the healings that occurred, and the energy that she witnessed and that she brought forth to the world to help change lives. This is what is really important. Whenever you have a great initiate who does great work, they will be castigated. They will be blamed for all kinds of things, and they will go through suffering and the travail that anyone who stands for the light goes through. They will go through persecution, just as many of you on this call at some point in your life have been persecuted. What that persecution does is make you stronger if you share it with equanimity, with the light of the Christ moving through you and supporting you. Because the persecution actually helps you to gain access to greater fields of light in heaven by invoking the resources of heaven, the angels, and Jesus, the Master, to assist you in overcoming that persecution. And it generates greater love, forgiveness, mercy, and we're taught to forgive our enemies, to love our enemies. So if we didn't have those who persecute us or who mindfully fight us, maybe we wouldn't have developed our heart and our compassion and our forgiveness and understanding as much as we have. And yet because we have endured this persecution, this malignment, it makes us more humble and hopefully more saintly. So the saints have weathered all this, and it's the testing of our soul, it's the testing of our spirit, and if we don't mock God, and we are obedient to God, and we are obedient to the word that we receive, and we are obedient to the law of the one, and we love with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul God and our neighbor as our higher self, then we move through this persecution and these initiations with equanimity, with even with joy. And as we are kind of chastened by that energy of persecution, this chastening wears away all the other aspects of our human creation that do eventually have to go into the flame. And so what better way to kind of commute our sentence, so to speak, on this earth by making us more holy because we have weathered this fire of persecution. Jesus had to go through the trial. Jesus had to go through the temptations of the wilderness. Jesus had to go through his suffering in the garden of Gethsemane, where he sweat great drops of blood as he was working out how he was going to completely surrender to the will of God and fulfill his destiny. So every great saint, every great master goes through these initiations, and the persecution can be part of the initiation known as the crucifixion. And when you understand that, then you can move through it with acceptance, with love, with understanding, and you, like Jesus, can say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. How many times have you said it to others who persecute you, rather than railing against them, blaming them, or trying to react to them? If you, like Jesus, can move through these trials and tribulations with that level of love and forgiveness, then you too will gain the light that Jesus gained as the Son of God, as the Christ, by employing this science of forgiveness, the science of love and compassion and understanding that moves you into a higher domain of beingness, beyond the human. If we react to those who fight us, who curse us, who misunderstand us, then we haven't quite learned the same lessons that Jesus demonstrated in Matthew. And so we have to ask to receive those initiations again so that we can pass them with love. So admire those and respect those who are the instruments for your testing, your initiation, and your overcoming, because that friction of that persecution is actually a blessing in disguise. And as you have your victory over the dark that sometimes comes within that persecution, you realize that you have to go in more light from your presence, from God, to bear that burden, to bear that light to overcome that darkness. And it's an alchemy, and it's a great wonderment to realize that if everything is completely hunky-dory in your life and you never go through any persecution, maybe you're not striving enough. Because then I can assure you that if you start to make cosmic waves through the light that you know, you will be persecuted. You will be misrepresented, misunderstood, misquoted, misconstrued. It's just part of the mystical life of the initiate to go through the misses there. And we hopefully will never miss our mark on both the misses of heaven and the misses of heaven to move through all of this great grace. And we will have the benefit of the blessing of the Holy Spirit as we forgive, forget, let go, let God, as we know that what goes around comes around, that we'd rather put out love, forgiveness, understanding, and peace rather than their opposite. So thank you, Donna. Are there any other questions? Yeah.
Are there any other questions for David? If you want to speak on the phone, you need to press star 6 to unmute yourself.
Are there any other questions?
Just going to ask a question.
Okay, hello. I look at the popular culture in America, and it, to some extent, is seemingly attempting to enthrone the feminine aspects while doing a sort of a disservice and denigrating the masculinity. And I don't think the popular culture, you know, is representative of the Christ consciousness, but some aspects of it might have to be respected, while others are maybe perverted. And I just wonder if you could comment about the roles of men in the household, women in the household. Should women be pushed out, be going into the workforce, men be in charge of cooking, or should they just share everything? And then how is that going to affect the children? And I know that this might be a little off point, but if you have a comment, I'd appreciate that.
And I just wonder if you could comment about the roles of men in the household, women in the household. Should women be pushed out, be going into the workforce, men be in charge of cooking, or should they just share everything? And how is that going to affect the children? And I know that this might be a little off point, but I'm comfortable.
There was all the opportunity of commenting about the couple in the home, but also in the workplace.
Did you get that question, David?
If you're done speaking, press star 6 now, please.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was from Dana Christian, and I just hear most of the questions. There is always an opportunity for harmony and balance between couples in the home and also in the workplace. And when there is respect, first and foremost, for each other. As Jesus and Magda demonstrated this absolute respect and the integrity and honor of the beloved working as a team and working as one, then you can meet any challenge, you can do anything, you can rise to any occasion. So should women primarily be in at home or in the workplace? It depends on their particular calling and mission. If they're called to have children, part of their time primarily should be with that children, especially in the early years of their lives, as their mothers, their teachers, and their mentors, and helping them to establish a firm foundation in their lives. Does this mean that women can't be in the workforce? Of course not. In today's world, we're seeing more and more women who are married with children also working. You simply have to balance everything so that there is the right dynamic and the right harmony. Should men be in the home, working and doing things? It depends on what they're calling. In some cases, the woman may have a better education and a better job and earn more money. And I know some cases where a man stays home and is the one who does a lot of tasks for the woman's work. We even have somebody in the Hope Center household who does this because his wife, you know, has a fairly lucrative job, and he has a high development of the feminine aspect of his being, his artistic side, and he utilizes it as a blessing to the Heart Center, our community worldwide, and to this community. So it's really, I think you can't always generalize and make a definitive statement that it should be black or white or this way or that way. It all is about respect between the feminine and the masculine. You know, the original women's word movement, unfortunately, in some aspects, became very spiteful of men. And I think there was a cause, sure, that women had to be liberated from a lot of what in our society was putting them down and making them second-class citizens. They didn't have the right to vote until a certain time. And the women's suffrage became a big deal. And women's rights are a big deal now. And equal pay is an absolute necessity. There should be no disparity here. We are co-equal. So as the feminine aspect of our culture rises, as women take their rightful place in leadership at every level of our society, including spiritual leadership in all churches and all religions, we will see the dawning of the Aquarian Age and a beautiful, beautiful representation of this mother culture that must come to earth through women, through their sensitivity, their creativity, through their mother being. And it's like, you know, the question I have sometimes is, because there has been so much of the downgrading of women for so long, can there be kind of an equalization of the scale of injustice to bring them up by temporarily bringing them up higher than maybe that equality would normally be? And we've seen this with racial bigotry and racism, where, you know, we had for quite some time the ability to have quotas and things to help African Americans to have more of an opportunity because they had been depressed and downtrodden for a long. So this is still kind of a question. I see the scale equalizing as people become enlightened, as they become educated, as they become understanding of who men are, what they represent, that God is mother as well as God is father, that Jesus has Magda as his twin flame, and we have to get the word out. Everyone has to know this. We have to know that there are feminine Buddhas in heaven, not just male Buddhas. So, yes, I think for a time we have to almost accentuate the feminine aspect of God in cultures because it's been so depressed for so long. And once the equality is there, represented in all nations, among all people, once women are not downtrodden, they're not seen as chattel or as their bodies used as sex objects in the media and movies and entertainment, once we see the sanctity of who women are and that women are vital to the golden crystal age, and the feminine aspect of God is a part of this rebirth of our culture and society, then the scales will be balanced, and then we don't have to accentuate it quite as much. However, we will have to accentuate that for a while. That's part of the reason we're having this class and this subject. So does this mean there should ever be bigotry toward men? For the denigration of men, of course. That there has to be parity, there has to be equality, and we have to get the word out. We have to have laws that are just and that are that honor this equality of male and female. So I hope that answers your question, Dana. And in fact, we're right at the 8 o'clock hour. And I will turn it back over to Barbara and Donna and whoever to take us through the prayer request and everything else that you would like to share tonight. So back out to I'm going to sign off for now via Skype. And thank you so much. Thank you, Barbara, Donna, and all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Barbara?
Hello. Okay. Thank you.
Hello. Oh.
Okay. Well, that finishes the recording with David for now. Donna, you're welcome to speak and continue with the information you wanted to give at this point.
Can you hear me, Barbara?
Yes.
Okay. What I would like to do is invite any and all of you to hang in there. I know this was a difficult time. It's our first time to do it this way, and I promise we will do better. We will come up with some other ways, perhaps, to try to do both the broadcast online and on telephone. We're working on it. But for those of you who are still with us, I'm very happy that you're here, and I would like to invite you to stay and join with us in some prayer time, and also join with us in giving us an opportunity to share some things that you can benefit by being with us in the Heart Center. I first want to tell you some opportunities, some things that are going on in the Heart Center right now. If you can ever get access to a computer, you can go to the very home page of heartscenter.org. And on that home page, right in the middle, you will see a sign that says Announcements. And under that are Events and Broadcasts. And the main thing I want to tell you tonight is to find that spot when you can. It will tell you everything that's happening every day of the month. And as new things are added, they're put on this. It's kind of like a bulletin board, and it'll tell you what's happening, what time it is. You can just click on it to get more information. For instance, right now I'm looking at Thursday, March 31st. It says 7 a.m. Mountain Time, Mount Shasta Morning Prayers, 12 o'clock p.m. Barcelona Prayers in Espanol. For those of you who prefer Spanish, or for anybody you know who prefers Spanish, at 4 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, we had Chile Education, or some teachings from Chile in Spanish. At 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, we had the class with Magda, and the Heart Share time is that's our Heart Share teleclass tonight. So you can go right on down. You can look at Friday, which tells you about the Detroit morning prayers. Friday is April 1st, April Fool's Day. And Mountain Time, 7 a.m., is our Detroit morning prayers. If you're in Central Time, it would be 8 a.m. And you can contact us by telephone. It's very, very easy to contact us by telephone. I don't see the telephone numbers up here on the main page, but we send out an email and we send out a snail mail that gives you a bunch of numbers you can choose from. And it doesn't matter if you live in Tucson, Arizona. You can use a Seattle number, Dallas number. I forget what we call these kind of numbers, but
rewired.
Pardon?
Rewired.
Rewired. These are called rewired numbers. And all you have to do is dial any one of those numbers at the time when our broadcasts come on in the morning. And then you click on access code 101 after you dial that number, and you can hear the whole broadcast. Occasionally, there are difficulties if there's some storms or if the broadcaster has some problem. And you can, if you have difficulties, I'd say call me or call Barbara. My number is 903-885-2495. But you miss out on so much if you don't hear the morning broadcast. And so if you don't have a computer, be sure you call one of those rewired numbers and hear the broadcast, whatever part of it you can get in on, whatever part you have time for. If you have a speakerphone that you can carry with you around your house, that's what I do. I play the broadcast by telephone morning after morning. I have it in the bathroom while I'm taking a shower. I can do the decrees with it. I just turn it up and listen to it while I'm taking the shower, especially one bathroom where it's really easy to hear. So I just want you all to please listen to the broadcast in the morning. That's where you hear what's happening. You hear about going on in regard, for instance, we're having a June 16th in Livingston, Montana conference. And somebody's making a lot of noise there. So be sure if you haven't clicked on star 6 that you click on star 6 so you block out any background noise. So there is a wonderful, wonderful conference going on going to go on June 16th in Livingston with Mona and David Lewis. And it's called In the Garden with Anastasia. And if you click on that, which it runs across the top of the website, you'll get a whole lot more information. And another thing that's going on is, I'll talk to us a little bit more about the June 17th through 20th conference in Livingston, because this is something where everybody tries to come. This conference is being held under a special spot in Livingston that the Masters have blessed, and it's called also, what's going to be included is the Buddha of Loving Kindness teaches on the Aquarian Path of Love. And I know you would love to hear this. Maitreya initiates disciples in the arts of mindfulness, meditation, and mirth. And it's a wonderful opportunity to get to know people in the Heart Center and find out areas where you can fit in, where you can volunteer, where you can pray, and you will grow like a weed once you do this. So I'm just mainly wanting you to concentrate on praying about that conference right now. There is also one, I'm looking here on my website to see if it comes up. Here it is. It's in Yosemite National Park, May 6th through 8th. And if you'd like to know more information about that, you get on a computer and just click on that spot at the top of the website that runs across horizontally with all of our activities. And so if you're interested in that, give me a call if you can't get on your computer, or I was going to give you, let's see, Barbara, do you have the number of the help number that where they can call and talk to Jeanette? That number is on here somewhere on the front page. I'm looking to see if I can find it here. Oh, here it is. Well, here's one number, our help desk. It's 630-894-4410. Write that down if you can. 630-894-4410. You can call the help desk at that number and get all the information on what's going on. You can ask any questions. You can ask for prayer. Or if you have a computer, you can email friends@heartcenter.org with any questions, comments, or prayer requests. And there's a place on that same page where it says also submit prayer requests here. And it says prayer team. And there's a prayer team under, you just click on that where it says prayer team, and immediately it will tell you what to do. So there's just so many things and ways and people that want to help you in the heart-centered organization. Tonight, I would like to talk, and I just misplaced my paper here. Here it is. Okay. I would like to talk about a couple of things just briefly that come from this wonderful glossary, dictionary that members of the Heart Center have put together for us. And this is something where we could use some volunteers too. But anyway, I'm going to talk about some things that start with A, and they're in our dictionary. And if you wanted to look up so many things that the Masters would like you to know, you would go to the main page of our website of our Heart Center, and you would see the horizontal menu, purple menu across the top there, and you would click on Teachings, and then you would click on Dictionary. So I want to tell you about some of the first things that start with A. The first word, of course, is Afra. Afra is a fantastic master. He ascended over 36,000 years ago. He's the ascended master patron of Africa, and he represents unity and the true understanding of universal brotherhood. Now, if you wanted to know more about Afra, there's a place up at the top of our website that says search. It's over in the far right corner. And you click on search and you put in Afra. And you'll find all kinds of stuff that will come up and tell you more about Afra or where to go to learn more. The second word I just want to mention tonight is Akasha. Akasha is a Sanskrit term. It's actually a dimension of energetic vibration, and it's capable of absorbing and archiving every activity and thought, word, action, and feeling that you have. That's the record. That's the diary, your daily journal being written for you right above you and around you. It records every thought and feeling that you have from the very beginning of time, including your past incarnations. Everything is there all about you. So it's an amazing ability when somebody can see or read what they call the Akashic records, and there are a few people that can do that. And the third word, and we will stop with this third one, is alchemy or alchemical. Alchemical means transformation. Alchemy is a type of pre-chemistry, and it was used in medieval times for the transmutation of base metals into gold or silver. In its esoteric context, in other words, the way we use it in our Heart Center, in past and present, alchemy refers to the science of spiritual transformation. According to the teachings of the Ascended Masters, it is the process through which the base nature of the lesser self is transformed into the qualities of the higher self. You actually alchemize yourself by visualizing what you want to be and do. And hopefully you will visualize what you want to be according to the direction of your higher self, your Father, Mother, God. We can alchemize funds, money that we require to do the work that we do in the Heart Center, for example, by giving, sharing, praying, visualizing. Visualization is so, so important today because visualization is the key to alchemizing what we are in our world today into the golden crystal age. So I would encourage all of you to study alchemy, and you can learn all about it in our Heart Center website. Just go up there to this word search if you don't know where to start and put in the word alchemy. And it's spelled A-L-C-H-E-M-Y. So with that little lesson, I would encourage you, if you had difficulty hearing the class tonight for any reason, to wait for a few days, and in about 2 or 3 days, sometimes even faster, we get the class archived, and it will be archived under events. If you click on events at the top of our Heart Center community website, you will see come up down below it, free monthly Heart Share events. So there will be a recording of what David said right there. It'll be when you click on free monthly Heart Share events, all of the classes that we have had come up there. There's the last class that we had was Lady Venus on how to water the seed of love in your heart. And she came with Sanat Kumara, who helped us to diminish the forces of anti-love along with Lady Venus. That's there, and if you didn't hear it last month, all you have to do is click on events and then click on free heart share events, and listen to the top class that's there. You click on that, you see the little hand come up, the little finger. Click on that, and you will be able to listen to the whole archived class. Now I would like to give everybody an opportunity to share any prayer requests that we can pray for tonight. And if you would like to do that, just hit star 6 and share with us any prayer requests. And Barbara, I'm going to let you take over there because you can control the sound.
Here, I've got a word to add to your words. How about reincarnation? You know, when children are born in America, people think they're a clean slate, but it would help a lot if they realized that they were reincarnated from other lifetimes, because then if a child becomes a deviant, the parents are blamed, and sometimes the parents feel superior. Sometimes if they have an advanced child that feels superior to them. So if we could pray that you just do what is best for the hand you were dealt, and nobody judges anybody. The child doesn't judge the parent. The parent doesn't judge the child, because they're both human beings growing into the ascended state.
That's so true, Daniel. It would save a lot of heartache if people understood about reincarnation. A lot of heartache. But in your future, when we have our golden crystal age, are going to know about this. It's going to come forth. In fact, I visualize and see people becoming, for the whole situation to be on earth is in heaven, just like Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer. And if it's on earth as it is in heaven, people will know that they've had past lives, and they will have a greater understanding, patience, love, and light, which will, when you have a lot of love and light, it exposes things for the way they really are. So thank you for that contribution. That's a very important
point. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have a comment, any comments at all, or a prayer request?
I have a prayer request, Donna.
Okay.
My sister's partner, Pam, broke a finger, and she needs prayers to heal her broken finger. Her name is Pam Prince.
Prince, okay. What kind of occupation does she have?
She's a retired science teacher. She was
a science teacher
for many, many years. So.
Okay. Well, even a broken finger can be very distracting and painful.
Yeah, she said she's surprised how much it hurts. She never would have imagined it would hurt so much.
That's right. That's right. I know there's a place in Corinthians in the Bible that talks about if you hurt your finger, your whole body suffers from it. If you hurt your whatever.
At least she doesn't have to wash dishes now.
Yeah. That's for sure. Okay. Do we have any other prayer requests or any comments or questions on what was said tonight?
I have a request, a prayer request. This is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, I don't have a lot of information on it, but a gal named Lily, she who lives in Denver, her and her husband flew to Mexico for their first time ever, and they were away from their four children. And while they're away, they're in a horrific accident, and he was killed, and he was injured pretty bad, critically injured. So I just like prayers for Lily in the Denver area for her four children.
Goodness.
Yes.
Oh, yes. We will pray for that family and those children. Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other prayer requests tonight?
Hi, Donna. This is Anna from Marietta.
Hi, Anna.
How are you, sweetheart?
I'm good. How can we pray for you tonight?
I'm having challenges with I've been diagnosed with a heart condition, which is my heart is had a regular beat, and also, you know, the chambers of my heart, the bottom one is not working properly, so the heart, the one on the right-hand side is pulling all the work, and it's really hard on my heart. So
for your heart?
Yeah, my heart. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
are you taking a medication right now?
Yeah, I'm on Losartan twice a day, 25 milligrams.
Okay.
I'm taking that, and I'm taking natural supplements, you know, trying to help out, or homeopathics, and taking Coliverol in capsules.
Oh, that's good.
And my chiropractor suggested some kind of Chinese medicine, which is helping me too. So hopefully, you know, I can, because I can hardly bend over. Because like, every time I bend over, you know, I feel the rush of the blood coming to my forehead.
Okay.
It's very, very bothersome, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You bend over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I put this down, Anna, and we will definitely pray this for your heart, for your strength. One of the things that just comes to my mind right now to tell you is to practice deep breathing.
Okay.
I had contact with several people that had great improvement in their circulation and their heart. Their heartbeat was lowered from going real fast to 72 to 74 beats per minute just by practicing deep breathing. So that's something, and maybe somebody else has a suggestion.
I went
because
from 75 to 100, 105 sometimes.
You don't need it to be that high. That's a little bit stressful. But if I can find something online that would help you regarding just relaxing and getting out of the stress of things, I will send it to you because that would be helpful for your heart.
Okay.
Another thing that is helpful is hawthorn berry. Hawthorn berry helps open up the blood vessels so that the heart doesn't have to work so hard.
Yeah, I started taking that a couple of weeks ago because I was having a hard time, you know, catching my breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I started taking that and I noticed the difference big time. Yes, thank you.
Great.
I started taking the extract. Yes, pretty good, yes.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm so glad you told us, and we will certainly keep you in prayer this week.
God bless. Thank you, honey, for everything.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And for everybody else, God bless you.
God bless you, too.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
Bye. Anybody else have a prayer request tonight we can honor? If not, we'll go ahead and pray for these four things I see here, and let's also, I'm just going to add here for myself, let's be praying for the process of our next election and all that's happening on the news. It just seems like we have a bunch of people acting like children. I don't mean that children act bad, but I mean they're acting childish in a way that grown men should not act, accusing each other of this and that. I don't know. I know you're all aware of it, so let's just pray for the process all involved with the election coming up and what happens between now and then.
Mm-hmm.
So any other requests anybody can think of?
Yes, this is Barbara again. And this is something I have had two different people call me about because it was disturbing to them. There's been in the news a couple of places lately about female genital mutilation that is prevalent in many African countries, especially the ones with high Muslim concentration. And I know, I'm trying to think which African country it was. One of the African countries right now, they're just on the doorstep of passing a law to outlaw this practice, which would be really great, but you still have to change the minds and hearts of the people because it's estimated that in Central Africa, approximately 90% of all girls and women have had this done to them, and which is just mind-boggling, you know. And when, especially when women find out about this in the West, it just freaks them out, you know, and they get really upset about it. But this is something that's been going on for a long time, and we need to pray for the education, enlightenment of the people, and the eradication of this barbaric practice, which keeps women as objects, as things, as someone, you know, barely human. You know, they're definitely second-class citizens, and usually with very, very few rights of any kind whatsoever.
Right. Okay.
So that's my request.
Good. That's a very good thing we can pray for. All right. Let's see. I've got five requests here. I've got a request for Pam Prince and her broken finger, for Lily, who died, and her husband, who is severely injured, and the four children who were left. When the mother and father were coming to Mexico, and Anna, for her heart mainly, and for the heartbeat and her health in general, and for the election coming up and all this stuff going on behind the scenes regarding it, and for this female mutilation that is still going on in 90% of Central Africa. So,
and for the relationship between children and adults.
And, yes, and for the relationship between children and adults that Daniel mentioned. Okay. That's a very good one. So that's six things I have here. Who would like to pray?
I'm here, Donna Driggin.
Donna, great. Donna, why don't you take Daniel's request, the relationship between children and adults that could be cleared up if they understood about reincarnation, as he mentioned. But in general, that's a very good request for the relationship between children and adults as they occur today. And who else is here?
Cindy. Cindy's here.
Cindy, could you pray for Pam Prince, who has a broken finger and having a lot of pain with
her?
Okay. And who else is here?
Barbara's here.
Barbara, could you take Cindy's request for the Lily that died, her spirit, her soul, and her husband who is severely injured, and the four children who were left? The children were left at home, and the parents were going to Mexico.
Okay.
That. I'll take Anna and her heart situation, and then we'll start back again. Donna Driggin, if you could take the election, and Cindy, if you could take the situation with female mutilation that happens in 90% of Africa. And we will just start in that order. We'll let Donna start.
Okay. In the name I Am That I Am, we call to Kasumi and all the Ascended Masters to help children and adults understand, let them be aware that the relationship has to do with karmic, and help us with Jesus and Kasumi to educate people today about reincarnation. Let them ask. Let them be conscious enough to be aware something is wrong there, if there is an imbalance of relationship, that it has to do with other lifetimes, and there is a mending and a healing that needs to take place. And we ask also, in the name I Am That I Am, all the Ascended Masters, Nada, Portia, Lady Master Venus, to please help us with the next election, to instill in the hearts of the people that they need to be thinking in terms of what is best for the world, or for the United States, rather, for the United States, what is best for us, the reality of the responsibility of the president and they need to be respectful and a leader and be the example to all people in the United States as to how to lead. And we ask all of the masters to please guide and direct us. Please take everyone that you can to the retreats at night and let them be aware of what they need to be thinking about. We ask this in the name I am that I am. Amen.
In the name I am that I am, I call to beloved, the beloved healing angels, beloved Mother Mary and Raphael, to send forth your ray of healing to beloved Pam Prince to help her with her broken finger so that she is not in pain and that it heals properly and quickly. Also in the name I am that I am, I call to... I call to the Heavenly Host, our Father, Mother, God, Alpha and Omega, and Helios and Vesta, and beloved Afra, and all that overshine the African continent, Arcturus and Victoria, Serapis Bay, to shine your light into the situation of the female mutation now that is going on throughout that area, to bring it to an end, and to bring education and more understanding of what it's really they're doing, and that the Muslims understand that it's not God's way to doing this to their female counterparts. We thank you in the name I am that I am that we hear that the Heavenly Host hear this call and act with compassion and grace for this to manifest now in our world today. Thank you.
Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. I just forgot to press the unmute button. Just a moment. I will start over. In the name I am that I am, I call the beloved mighty Astraea and Purity to lock your cosmic circle in sort of blue flame, enter around the soul of Lily from Denver to escort her soul to its proper place in the etheric to prepare for re-embodiment or as a candidate for the ascension according to God's holy will, wisdom, and love, and her own karma. I call to Mother Mary and Archangel Raphael and all the comfort angels to surround her husband who was injured in the accident recently when they were on their vacation in Mexico, and also around their four children. Oh, beloved Saint Germain and Mother Mary and Blessed Jesus, beloved Holy Family, place your electronic presence over these dear ones and heal this family for the loss of their mother, for the husband, for the loss of his wife, and help them bond together and to get the help that they require to keep their family together and to keep on keeping on. Give them courage and hope and faith and perseverance through this time of grieving and adjustment. I ask the same blessing for all families who are in this situation where they have lost a beloved family member and it has impacted them deeply. Give them courage and peace of mind and heart, we pray, and let them feel your great love. Wrap them in your arms of love, Blessed Mary, and let them feel your precious heart. We are so grateful for your great love. And we accept it done now. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Mother, the Son, the Daughter, and the Holy Spirit, we call for the healing for all sentient beings. And tonight, especially, we would also call for Anna Bodoff and her husband, Jerry. But I would particularly pray for Anna's heart and for the strengthening of it for her to be very much in tune with her higher self in knowing which supplements to take and in following, knowing and having comfort and peace with what her doctor prescribes for her. We pray that her doctor will be very incisive and very aware of what she requires. Help her to sit calmly and breathe deeply and meditate and see her heart as whole and healthy and vibrant and all that it is meant to be. We thank you tonight for all that you offer us. We thank you for the message from Magda. We thank you that you're going to continue to instruct and guide and lead and direct us in the HeartShare team and the teleclass that we have been doing. We pray for insight and wisdom in knowing the best ways to proceed to help others grow through this HeartShare team and to know the very best ways to get the message out from the Masters to all the newcomers that regularly click on and register on our Heart Center. Pray now for every person that attended the class that they would meditate on something special that they got from Magda, and that this week and this time in our lives will be a time of flourishing, growth, light, and love that we emanate out to this whole planet through our chakras and through the very essence of the clearance that we receive from Mother Kali and the Masters daily. We thank you for the light and love that is increasing in our hearts and our lives. May we use it wisely, lovingly, and continually. We ask these things tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay.
Donna?
Yes.
This is Dwayne. I've been going back and forth between one phone and another trying to get through, and I've been muted, and I don't know, understand why, but anyway, for some reason this time it worked, changing phones again. So I am sorry I couldn't voice myself earlier. I would like to make a request or just an awareness just to keep me in your prayer. We were just gathering wood in the forest today for our wood stove, and I was very, very heavy logs, and so I was rolling them with my foot rather than picking them up and taking them to the car. And I don't know what I did, but it just, it hurts. And I don't know. Anyway, just to,
Which foot is it?
It's my left foot, and it's kind of like on the inner aspect, middle area. I didn't even give any indication until like an hour later, and then all of a sudden it started building this limitation and pain.
Are you having any swelling or redness?
There's really not a obvious thing. I feel just a lump, kind of like on the bottom of the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Not huge, but just, you know, kind of maybe filled in. And just kind of a
sounds
little
like
lumpy area.
You strained that muscle that's right on the inside of the inner aspect of your foot by pushing it.
Yeah, I probably did.
Yeah. And you often you'll feel a lump like that when you do. I've done that before doing things with my feet, especially when I was carrying kids, one in one arm and one in and holding on to another one and trying to pick up toys and stuff like that. I was pushing them one time with my foot like that, and that same thing happened to me. The best thing I can think of to do is to put it, if it's you know, hurting you tonight and it's bothering you, or keeping you, very often things don't bother you until you go to bed, and then they really bother you because you don't have any other distractions. But you could soak it in cold water tonight, or ice it. Put something like you would put Bengay or some blue ice or Bengay or something like that on it to cool it, so that you get the circulation out of it tonight or down, so that there's less inflammation. And then tomorrow or the next day, you could go back and forth with hot and cold if it's still bothering you.
Okay.
If you have any, or you know anybody that has any Coumadin or turmeric, any anti-inflammatory supplements. That would help also in keeping the pain and discomfort down and just stopping any inflammation there.
Right. Thank you. And just one other thing, just to, you know, just to, my daughter, sorry to hold you up here, but my daughter,
okay.
Jennifer, was having some real challenges in her, in switches, changes that are going on within her, in her home. And I'm just calling for her peace and comfort and strength and God vision as to movement forward. And that's
okay, that's, did you say Jessica?
Jennifer.
Okay, yes, I remember now. Jennifer. Okay, I will pray
thank
for
you.
Her right now.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, Mother, Son, Daughter, and Holy Spirit, we all agree together in prayer for the healing first of Dwyn's foot, her left foot on the inner aspect. And we pray for her to know exactly what to do as she meditates with her higher self, that she will know exactly what to do to relieve this and to prevent any inflammation. And we pray tonight for Dwyn's daughter, Jennifer, for the changes that are occurring that are stressful to her. We pray that she would be at peace, that she would be able to sit and meditate and breathe deeply and respond in joy, knowing that all will be taken care of and that this too shall pass and that this is part of the tests of life that we have. We all are having them in one way or another, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. We all have our tests. And I pray that just as Godfrey mentioned, that we will leap in joy and in love to these tests somehow, at least in our soul spirit, and respond according to the way that God has for us to respond, knowing that we are cells in the body of God and we can do anything because he is surrounding and loving us through his host of the Lord in every endeavor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask all of these things tonight. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everybody, and I'll get back to you soon, and we will be meeting again, I guess, on April 28th, it looks like. So thank you for being here, and for all of, I thank all my team, and I thank Daniel and Anna for your prayer requests, and we will continue to be praying together one another. And also, I'll be getting in touch with you a little bit more about these steps that Lanella wants our team to take in helping people grow, actually, starting with step one and going on. And we will work on that together, hopefully mostly by emails and some phone calls probably, but I'll get back to you on that. So thank you, everyone, and have a good
evening.
God
bless.
God bless. Good weekend.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Bye-bye.